WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Nico was one of those mysterious figures of the swinging 60s. Was she an actress, a singer, or was she just a celebrity who popped up in the right places? Rock historian Ed Ward sat down with her early albums to try to figure it out.
Came your way and when he had to go, there were roses growing in the snow. Like this before, he had to go.
In the history of rock and roll, there are many odd careers, but few are as odd as that of Nico, a pop star who was never a star, really, and who mostly didn't do pop. She obscured her past, but it's known that her real name was Krista Paefken, of Cologne's Paefken Brewing family, whose restaurants still exist. Her parents were well enough off that she got a good education and ran with the European elite, and this explains how, at the age of 15, she found herself in Rome with a bit part in Fellini's La Dolce Vita. That led to a modeling career which scandalized her family, but put her right in the middle of the swinging 60s. She had liaisons with famous men, including French actor Alain Delon, with whom she had a son, Ari. Moving to London, she took up with Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, whose manager, Andrew Lou Goldham, signed her to his immediate label and tried to make a star out of her. Her voice wasn't really suited for Gordon Lightfoot songs like I'm Not Sayin', nor was she suited for life with Brian Jones, whom she left for Bob Dylan not long afterwards. By 1965, she was in New York, working again at acting and appearing in Andy Warhol's infamous film Chelsea Girls. Warhol had other plans for her, too. He'd just taken on the Velvet Underground, and after hearing her sing at a New York nightclub called the Blue Angel, he decided the band needed her icy good looks to complete their image. It worked for a while.
And what costume shall the poor girl wear to all tomorrow's parties? A hand-me-down dress from who knows
mildly. Neither Nico nor Lou Reed were easy people to get along with, and Reed considered her someone who'd been imposed on him. She famously stomped out on the group with a typically outrageous and anti-Semitic remark, but John Cale kept in touch. She put out a solo album, Chelsea Girl, featuring songs written for her by Reed, Bob Dylan, and her latest discovery, a 17-year-old kid from Southern California, Jackson Brown.
I don't do too much talking these days. These days I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do. And all the times I had the chance to.
By 1968, Cale, too, had left the Velvets and helped her put together her next album, The Marble Index, which was all her own songs. To say that it was not what the pop world of the time was waiting for was no exaggeration.
Friar Hermit stumbled over the cloudy borderline. Frozen warnings close to mine, close to the frozen borderline. Frozen warnings close to mine, close to the frozen borderline.
Cale's arrangements brought out all of his avant-garde leanings, while Nico's compositions and vocal techniques harkened back to medieval times. Ignored totally by radio and the press, the Marble Index sold dozens of copies at the time. By now, Nico was living in a world of her own, and although she and Cale made one more album in the mid-70s, featuring a version of The Doors' The End, which became her signature number, Nico's drug abuse had gotten worse, and no label or manager would touch her. Seated behind her harmonium, she'd pull stunts like singing the band verses of Deutschland über alles at a concert in West Berlin, or just droning away while her band tried to figure out what was going on. In 1988, having cleaned up and gone on a health kick, she was bicycling on Ibiza when she died of a massive heart attack, aged somewhere between 43 and 48.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin.